happens to be we have in this expasha Azach, which is exactly what we're holding in the Silas Hashra. I see it's by shirt, we'll speak about both. You know, you have this expasha in the beginning of the parasha. The Yankee Avinu came to Har Maria, and there were the 12 Avonim, and they all had a fight. They wanted to say, Alay and Yaf Tzadik Reshoi, Alay and Yaf Tzadik Reshoi, Rashi's Medayak and the Pasuk. And in the end, they all became one. So this Chazal of 12 Avonim fighting with each other is a typical example of how you learn Chumash in first or second grade, and you're stuck with it your whole life. Right? You have a coloring book, you have these 12 Avonim busy fighting with each other, one gives a punch like this, one gives a punch like that. And in the end, zap, they all become one. And it's one of the hundreds of examples of how our level in Chumash and our Avonim Chumash stays at the first, second grade level your whole life. It's not only that. You learn these parashas in the first, second grade. And if you don't learn it over again, see, you're stuck your whole life with your Musik of the office in the picture from the coloring book, with the tent, with the oil, with four sides, and Avraham Avinu standing out there in the sun, which is all true, about that. But that's what you're stuck with. You're stuck with your whole life like that. And this is one of the examples where nobody understands exactly what the Avonim are fighting about. They sleep, not sleep. Okay, it's a big school. Go fight again. And you live with that your whole life, and then your kid comes home from school, I'm holding at that stage already, right? He tells you over the story, and you relive it again. And you see, Taka, that the story hasn't changed since you were in first grade. They're saying the same version, more or less. And the Ras and Kriyas changes, but the Zach itself, more or less, is the same thing. And they go back like that. So the Shram says, brings it as a prime example of one of the Yisaidis of Yiddishkeit, this story. So the Shram says as follows. Up to now, we saw, in this parak of Chaimus Adam Be'olamai, we saw that a person has tremendous obligations in this world, and a person has a terrible battle, and there's all types of things which are pulling him in all types of directions. Kashmir and Eil Hazeh. So up till now, you see, the Shram has painted a very bleak picture of Eil Hazeh. Eil Hazeh is beard, it's like Ramesh, the guys with the white hats and the black hats, right? You have the, see, the blue doesn't know what I'm talking about, the Seder, in the old days. Yeah, right? You have the villains, and you have the, what do you call it? And the tzaddikim. Eil Hazeh is beard, and we have a credit to be good, and you have to battle. That's what he said till now. But it's much deeper than that. It's not like that. It says in the Seil Sashon, Im tamik oid ba'inyan tereh, if you'll deepen yourself into the Zaf, you'll see as follows. Ki oilam nirvul ashimash adam. The Bria was created to the usage of a person. That means like this. A person was created in order to make the right choices. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in a matziv to choose the right thing. The Bria was created to serve that person. Omnam, hineyu oimid v'shiku gadol. The Bria, the world, is in a great balance. If a person allows himself to be schlepped after Gashmias and distance himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he whom is kalkul, he gets ruined. That we know already. He destroys the world with him. And if he controls himself, and he's attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he uses the world only to help in HaKadosh Hashem, whom is Allah, he raises himself up, that we know. And the world itself gets raised up. Why? It's a tremendous uplifting for all the created things. Where the Adam Hashalim Habu Kudush, the Justice Baruch, a person who's holy, who has a Kudusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he uses that thing for Avodas Hashem, so the whole world gets uplifted. Then he says, it says by the stones that Yaakov Avinu took and put under his head. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Malamish in his kaps of kulam mokam echad v'hoisa kol achas emeres alay and iach tzadik roishay. That's the pshat why all the Avonim wanted the tzadik to be on him. What's the pshat? What is he saying over here? What he's saying over here is a noyudik chiddush. Not a chiddush, but it's a noyudik, it's a chiddush for us. What he's saying is that not only is man ruchnius because he has a neshama in him and he's going to Olam Haba. Everything in the Bria is ruchnius. There's also something, which is neutral. It means as follows. Up till now, we understood that Eilam Hazeh is a bad thing, Gashmis is a bad thing, it's evil, I have to fight it. That's all. And it's me against them. Zakti Rebbe, it's not like that at all. Eilam Hazeh is in the shikul gadol. Eilam Hazeh is in a great balance. You can have a piece of steak dripping with gravy. Shtel Zechfar. Shtel Zechfar. A piece of steak dripping with gravy. And it could be something which will schlep you down, and the same steak dripping with gravy, if it's used for Avodas Hashem, for a Simchas Yontif, for a Sudas Mitzvah, with the right kavanas, the same piece of steak is a chepsa de mitzvah, the same piece of steak helps you be davar in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because the bria itself is not only a hecha timtza, not only a tool for choosing, it's part of the game itself. The bria itself either can help you, be mesayer you, to be davar in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. How could Gashmi help me be mesayer to davar in a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It's a tremendous kiddush. How could Gashmi be mesayer in davar in a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Because if a person uses the Olam Hazeh in an oifen to be davar in Kadosh Baruch Hu, he used it because Kadosh Baruch Hu said to eat me. He used it because Kadosh Baruch Hu said to get married. He used it because Kadosh Baruch Hu said to be healthy and be able to have koiches. So the same gashmi is the same meal. You can sit and eat lunch in yeshiva, and the same eating, you can have two people sitting at the same table, and one person is b'shikul gadol, he's on this side of the balance, that he's b'chal eating because he enjoys chicken, and you can have the other person who's also enjoying the chicken, but he's also mechavin to use it for Avodas Hashem. And this guy took the chicken and it gibblibin that chicken. And the other guy took the chicken and turned it into a chafs of the mitzvah. And he raised up the chicken into a chafs of the mitzvah. That means he raised up the whole bria with him. And the mela, the same thing the chicken, which could have dragged him down, raised him up, and he raised up the chicken with him. The chicken became an estrog. The chicken became a chafs of the mitzvah. The same chafs of the mitzvah as again a lulut. That's one chiddush that he's saying. So the first chiddush that he's saying is that what's involved in what we spoke about till now is not just you, what's involved is the whole bria. The bria is not neutral to this game that's going on, to this war that we spoke about the last few weeks. The bria is not neutral, because it's a neutral player standing by. Everything's ruchnius. There's no black and white and neutral. Everything's ruchnius. Either you're on this side or you're on that side. And that applies side to people, and that applies to the whole bria. Either you're on this side or that side. So there's no such thing as a piece of chicken that's neutral. Either it's a chepsu the neutral or it's a chepsu the neutral. Now, I'm not talking about extremism over here. I'm not talking about extremism that you should go fast, or you're not going to go, and we're not holding by those dargas yet. The normal guy was holding at that darga where for him eating a piece of brownie or a piece of bread with water was the same thing. It meant nothing to him. We're not holding by those dargas, and we're not holding, we're not enjoying a zach. But the same thing that you're using, could use, that's the first thing you're saying. But there's a much deeper zach over here. Much deeper. The doubt this is true, that the gashmi also has a hechatimsa to be lifted up. I mean, the first chiddush is that the gashmi itself, the same chepsa of aver could be a chepsa of the mitzvah also. If it's used in the right way, if it's used the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to use it, the sayyeh aloy avodas Hashem, to help you with avodas Hashem. Umishtamish min ha'olam, it's a very, very important line over here. Umishtamish min ha'olam raklios lo lisiyu avodas Baruch Hu. A person uses olam hazeh to be a help of avodas Hashem. Later on, Rashi Yisrael says a line when he wraps up the perek. He says, how much olam hazeh should a person eat? In the last paragraph, he says, so if that's true, that all Olam Hazeh is only to help, that means Olam Hazeh doesn't only have a bad purpose, Olam Hazeh has a good purpose also, to help you do Avodas Hashem. How much Olam Hazeh should a person take? Mesil Sasharim says an equation at the end. Says Mesil Sasharim, right at the end of the parak. V'hanos ha'olam, and pleasures of this world, ain roish yoloi ela le'ezi subavad, u'shielo nachas ruach v'yishuv das l'man yuchol l'fanois libe ela v'edas hazois. How much gashmi should a person take? Enough that he should have a calm heart and mind, yishuv hadas, that you should be able to clear your heart and do Avodas Hashem. A person who's hungry, lasts eating for 3 or 4 days, can't do Avodas Hashem, he's only thinking about food. The Sefer Shalom says a very interesting equation. Many, many, many times I speak with Bachrim, who have a misguided idea of what Musa is about, and they have goyish ideas of what Musa is about. And a Bachrim comes to tell me, I've had this conversation literally with hundreds of Bachrim. Listen to the conversation. And it revolves around this page. A Bachrim, you speak to a Bachrim, and I presume I'm speaking to a lot of hidden thoughts, so if I don't mean you, then you don't have to listen. Many times, a person gets to a stage in life, not only Bachar, a person gets to a stage in life where he wants to lift himself up, he wants to raise himself up, he wants to make himself better. And he's just about to make his move, and then all of a sudden comes in a little worry into his head, wait a minute, if I'm going to make my move, that means that I have to give up everything that'll happen. Everyone grew up a certain way, everyone has a certain plan in his mind, how he's going to live more or less. Plus minus what his needs are. And everyone says to himself, but wait a minute, if I'm going to go do this, I'm going to fall into some black hole where I don't know how life's going to look. I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink, I'm going to walk around and get schlepped the whole day, like who knows what. I'll live in a tent somewhere in Central Park, and the wear these shoes, like, you know, if you're somebody's made about Rashach, you walk around with shoes in that hole, and you can't be turned out inside out because you the other way you can't wear it anymore. And everyone has a picture like that. So I've sat with hundreds of Bachrim who the thing that held them back from making the move was for what comes afterwards. And it's a misguided understanding of what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. It says, of course, over here. How much Olam Hazeh should a person take? So if Olam Hazeh is only a bad thing, take nothing. Bad thing? Take poison? You don't take an ounce of poison. Poison is poison. But it's a misguided understanding. Olam Hazeh is not poison. Olam Hazeh is an interesting, it's a magic thing. It could be poison, and it could be the most healthiest vitamin that could be. Vikan design. Yisrom says an equation. What's the answer? Take enough Olam Hazeh that you need to have Yishuv Hadas. So if it's poison you don't take. Poison doesn't give Yishuv Hadas. Poison makes you sick. But it's not poison. It's b'shikul godol, Mr. Shalom, mechadish to us. If you mechadish to us, that the border is a balance. It could be a mitzvah, it could be an avera. What's the borderline? How much are you taking? If you're taking what you need to have Yishuv Hadas, l'man l'fanes, you don't have to concentrate on your avera Hashem, if you're taking that much, then it's a mitzvah. Then you become Kaddish, and the Bria becomes Kaddish, and everything you did is Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. If you cross that line, you take more than you need, then you're a Shekitz. You're a Shekitz, and the chicken's a Shekitz, and everybody's a Shekitz. That's the equation. The exact amount you take is the amount you need. Now, that's poshit. That the amount that I need for my avodas Hashem to be calm is not the amount that is only going to be in halavai. Yeah, if I would live for 50 years on dry crusts and water, in fact, I'd be in better shape than I'd be in Vilna 200 years ago. I wouldn't be here. So our basic needs. I mean, there's nobody here, as far as I know. I don't mean to insult anybody who can live in the who can see himself living l'moshul in Beis Yisrael, right, the rest of your life with your wife and kids, and have the rain dripping in over here like we had this morning. Richtig, right? What's wrong? If you think it's only here, go into any house in the neighborhood here in the dining room. There's a what we call all year pool around. What's that thing? All season pool. All year, whatever. There's a pool, there's an indoor pool, anytime, winter, summer. It never does rain here in the summer. So, can anybody here picture themselves living it? No. Most people not. I know most of you. Some of you, I don't know, so maybe yet. But the ones I know, taking for Roy, can't see themselves living here. So, the person says, so why not? It means something's wrong with you, right? I don't. Why not? I'm not looking at Kodesh Baruch Hu. The answer is, that's not the litmus test. The litmus test is the Mani Chalaf HaZibri. Now, everybody understands that if you are going to be living in Beis Yisrael with the rain dripping in, and you haven't eaten for 3 days, so too much avodah zarah you're not going to do. That's for sure. That's for sure. So that's an example of a person has to know himself. Now, that's on one side of the street. On the other side of the street, it's a very, very deep shikul gadol. Does a person need a lexus for avodah zarah? I'm not exactly sure what it is, but there is such a thing. I've never seen it. There is such a thing called lexus, right? What is it? Avada. That's simcha. I'm really speaking about the steak with gravy. I'm an old designer. I guess they, right? Does a person need the most modern Palm Pilot to get around? Is that the Fano's Liboy? Or that's already crossing the line? How does the person know? So if the child is, it's poison, okay, so it's poison. So then you know you're a Shekitz. If you buy a Lexus, you buy whatever else, you drive a Subaru, whatever, you're a Shekitz, same Shekitz. What do you go with to go walk? What do you luxuries for? But it's not like that. It's either a mitzvah or an avera. Very fine line, and the shaila is not just the Lexus. There's 1,000 shailas that come up a day. Where do you do, what do you buy, how do you buy? You're going to buy a suit. Should you have to buy a two-button suit to show that you're not wearing a three-button suit and be the only guy in the block that has a two-button suit? Right? Should you, or are you allowed to buy? These are questions that come up all the time. These are questions that I grapple with. So I got with for many years. I didn't buy a three-button suit, but then they didn't have any more. So what can I do? But then by the time I bought three, they moved up to four. So I was still out of style. You understand? Anyway, you never look in style. Something you can do. But these are things you have to grapple with. Where's the line? What do you need for your menuchas and nefesh? What do I need for menuchas and nefesh? There was once a bracha. It's so many years ago. Nobody will know who he is. He's here 7, 8 years ago. He told me that under $100 he can't wear a tie. It's not bakfem. Under $100 he doesn't wear a tie. I never knew such a thing with him. How can you buy a tie more than $790? But he claims Bapak's change. But what it called? The music, I'm not joking by the way. I was never able to spend more than $10 on a tie. What for? Piece of ribbon, right? A tie around your neck. But I have to go back. But this Bapak told me, and he meant it seriously. This Bapak was a schlumpsh ankhid muscle. You can't imagine. He said, Echkenish! He can't! And if his schlumpy pants that had coffee stains on it from his dira in Beis Yisrael didn't cost him $200, he told me he can't learn, he can't get out of bed in the morning, which he didn't do anyway. So what's the pshat on that? He can't. So the guy's going to tie him. This is my yochel l'panas libur. That's my yodikol. Now, all jokes aside, we all come from a world where most people have crossed the line. They've crossed the line between the chicken being a shagas and the chicken being an asher. And that's the ikker battle of our life. And the ikker battle of life is the same. The same gashmi, the same car, the same house, the same clothing, the same what it calls. And a person has to walk that narrow line where on one hand he has to provide himself with his needs, if you wouldn't have to provide yourself with your needs and you wouldn't be allowed to provide, then life would be easy. So you don't do anything. You go out to the mitzvah and you get yourself one pair of pants, one pair of shoes, and one pair of one shirt, and that's all finished. So then there's no problem. Then things are very clear. The trouble starts because there's this business of yuchal l'fayinas libah. That's what puts us in this terrible predicament here, where we're mechayev to take what we need for avodas Hashem and not a drop more. And that puts a person in a predicament 24 hours a day. What, when, how, or where? The shalos that come up all the time. How much to take? How much not to take? That's one nekuda. But there's a much deeper nekuda. But still, what were the rocks fighting about? Stating them, that not only do the rocks become a chetz of the mitzvah when you do a mitzvah with them, but the rocks have ruchnius. And the rocks, the same way we have a yearning to pick ourselves up, the rocks also have ruchnius. Everything is ruchnius. Everything has ruchnius inside it. And since everything has ruchnius inside it, the rocks have she'ifas to be raised up. That means when you... I'm going to say over the story of Yaakovina with the stones a little bit more practically. When you sit down in front of a piece of chicken, for some reason the chicken says, "Eat me with kavana, because I want to be raised up." That's the story of Yaakovina. That means we have that story every day. Just because the pieces of chicken don't unite. Maybe we're not ready for that daraga, because maybe the chicken knows that we're not exactly the big project. But in potential, it's the same story. That means there's two stages over here. The first stage is that a rock has a yicholus to be a chef to the mitzvah. And if it has because it has the yicholus to be a chef to the mitzvah, the ruchnius take a roots of the rocks. Everything's rooted in a ruchnius. There's nothing in the world which is not rooted in a ruchnius. If something's red, it's because there's a ruchnius dicker thing called red. And if something's blue, it's because the ruchnius dicker thing. Why is something red, something blue? Because the molecules are like that. That's what they told you. And why are the molecules like that? Everything in the Bria is rooted in Olam HaSel Yoyen, rooted in ruchnius. There's a ruchnius dicker thing which causes red, and there's a ruchnius dicker thing which causes blue. And there's a ruchnius dicker thing which is rocks. And that ruchnius in the rocks wants to be raised up. And that's a result of the fact that it's a cheftah to the mitzvah. And Emma says that everything, every gashmius dicker thing that we're involved in, the Olam HaSel wants to be raised up. It wants to be dovek. It wants to be dovek in a kodesh bochur. Everything wants to go up. All ruchnius wants to go up. And that's the story of the battle of Davon and Yaakov Avinu. That's what happened. You have this tzaddik who's coming, and the tzaddik was dovek, Ma'isa Merkavi was dovek in a kodesh bochur, and the rocks saw an opportunity over here to make a big jump. Instead of being stam rocks sitting on Har Maria, they have an opportunity over here to be dovek in the tzaddik. And by being dovek in the tzaddik, they're going to be ahah after the mitzvah. Imagine, this is the first sleep of Yaakov Avinu after 14 years. Right? This is the first sleep of Yaakov Avinu after 14 years. Now you can understand why the rocks are arguing with each other. The rocks want to be dovek, they want to be dovek in a kodesh baruch hu. How could a rock be dovek in a kodesh baruch hu? A rock is dovek in a kodesh baruch hu by dovek in a person who's dovek in a kodesh baruch hu. That's what the fight was about. Everything's ruchnius. Just to finish off, once we're talking about the 14 years that Yaakov Avinu didn't sleep, first of all, there's an interesting zach. It's another thing. You know, that you read, you hear in fourth grade, and this is 14 years. The Alter from Kelm used to say, you know what it means not to sleep for 14 years? Multiply 14 Shavuos mornings by 14 years. Right, your middle of Rus, after the night of Shavuos, and now imagine you have to stay up, I think he has a cheshbon, there's another 5,000 nights. Right where you're holding the middle of Rus, the third parak. When you fell asleep, you wake up at the end of the fifth, and now you have to be up another 14 years. That's what it means. What's the pshat in that? Why did he go learn 14 years without sleeping? His pshat is, it was a hachana for something. He knew that he was going into Golas. And before he went out of the Golas, Yaakov Avinu was Yoshev Oyel. And before he went out to Golas, before he left, he understood that he needs a hachana. That means he understood that he had to leave the Beis Medrash. He had no choice. But he also understood, how can I go out of the Beis Medrash? He had to have hachana. What was the hachana? 14 years of learning. Right? 14 years of learning. Tells him Akasha, okay, he made a hachana. And these hachanas stayed on, by the way. He says that he went to Lavan and he came back later on. Tariq mitzvah shamati, Lavan gati, rashi tariq mitzvah shamati, he stayed the same. That means he didn't lose his darga akihuzeh. Why didn't he lose his darga akihuzeh? He tells before you go for 20 years to Lavan. Imagine you leave Beis Yisrael, you go for 20 years back to New York. How can you hold on to your darga? A guy sits in Mir Yeshiva for 20 years. And he's a tzaddik and he asks all his shailas and he's doing basmada day and night. Can we look at him 20 years afterwards in New York that he's in the same darga that he left? It's a very big challenge. State that Yaakov Avinu, after 20 years sitting with Lavan Arami, was exactly the same as when he came. That's what he prepared himself for. State the Neir Dikazach, state in Chazal Aloshin, Hitmin Atzma Eitzel Shem Ve'ever. I saw one of the Balaam Moses in the Medag. What's Hashem Hitmin? Hitmin is a Hilva Shabbos Hatmana. What does Hatmana mean? You take the Cholon and you put it and you cover it over. The Chinese didn't go learn in Shem Ve'ever. He was matmin himself in Shei Ve'eva for 14 years. Pshtol HaKasha, what would have been the end of the world if you would have taken a nap here and there? You want to learn 14 years? You want to get ready for Golos? Besider. Well, why can't you go to sleep? State that if you want to get ready for something and you want to get Epis Adarga, with mediocrity, you're not going to have anything. Yaakov Avinu understood that if he wants to leave the Beis Medrash, he wants to leave here, and he wants to stay with what he has in the same matzah without losing a darga. So it's not enough that he's going to learn half a first Seder and half a second Seder, and then have a wedding and a chayim and a chayim and this and that. From that won't come anything. He knew that he was hit min atzmai from shame ve'evil, where the Vardis buried himself in the Gemara for day and night for 14 years of not sleeping. And vice versa, he understood that if he would go to sleep once during the 14 years, he would be the same Yaakov Avinu. The Nisayonis would come, he would go out to the world, quote unquote, he would go out to Aram, he would go to Lavan, go to Koran, and then the Nisayonis would come, and he wouldn't be able to stand up to it. That means that the results that a person has after he leaves the Beis Medrash, in whatever form it is, whether it's going to another Beis Medrash or going to a different Matziv, is going to look. You have to understand something. Yaakov Avinu knew that once he was going to leave the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'ever, what he was then, that's what he was. A person has to know, if you want to know how you're going to look when you're 40, you should know you're going to look what you look now. Because the minute you leave here, whatever it is, whether it's in 2 years, in 3 years, in 10 years, in 20 years, whenever you leave here, it's finished. And whatever you're going to do here, that's what you're going to be. So if it's going to be mediocre here, the learning's mediocre, and the learning's discomfort, and the davening's discomfort, and it's a hair for this, and it's a hair for that, that's what it's going to be. It's going to look exactly like that. It's like planting a tree, that's what's going to come out. And Yaakov Avinu understood that Vibalti is going out to the world. It took him 14 years of learning day and night without sleeping once in order to get that insurance policy that he wasn't going to budge. That means there is such a thing as an insurance policy. Everyone says, I speak to people and says, there's nothing you can do, it's inevitable. You're eventually going to go back to New York. I'm probably going to go back to New York to learning without insulting anybody there. You say to her, a person says, I'm going to go back to New York, I'll be the same stock I was. It's not Rishkeit. What do you mean the same stock? You have the strangers that you have, you don't have the strangers that you don't have the strangers here that you have there, you don't have the mats, you don't have the disturbances, you don't have everything that's going on. What? So a person says, so some people say, nothing you can do. Some people say, there's nothing you can do. Can't it? It's not true. A person could hold on to what you have. Nobody does. Because nobody does what Yaakov Avinu did. If a person matzmin himself in the years that you have, now, you have to be able to have a vision ahead. You're not always going to be able to sit in Mir Yeshiva and Nukas and Nefesh 15 hours a day without anybody disturbing you. We can all fool each other and make believe that you're going to be here 20 years and things like that, but I'm not interested in fooling anybody. You don't know how long you'll have to sit in this base measures and how long halavayesh all try to sit and learn your whole lives and grow up become the chumim and we have every year another year, make it 10 years, 15 years, but there's going to come a time where most of us, most of you, at least if I'm already old men, but we'll have to go do something. I'm not necessarily saying working, even if it's a chinuch, if it's what you call, but this day you're going to step out of the base measures probably. Let's not fool each other. Are you thinking about that day? That day is going to look not what you're going to do that day. That day is going to look what you're going to do tomorrow morning. How are you going to daven tomorrow morning? How are you going to learn tomorrow morning? This is what there is. You should know, I want to be frank with you. This is, if it's 5 years, if it's 10 years, if it's 15 years, it doesn't make a difference. This is it. What you're going to be the rest of your life is what you're going to make use out of these years. And as stark as you're going to be now, as much as you're going to be matmin atmoi in the Beis Shem Ve'ever, that's what's going to be. So don't come along and say that it's inevitable, there's nothing you can do, and go back to New York, go back to wherever you come from, other places, for those who come from other places, and you'll say, what can I do? That's the world. I paid my tribute to God for a few years, I did a little bit of Eretz Hashem, I did my thing, if it's 5 years, if it's 10 years, and then we'll go on with life, we'll go back to the real world, what they call, again, the real world, look how it looks, Nebuch. It's a shekel of a puzzle, it's process. A person can stand up to any nisyon, a person can fight any battle, and a person can hold on to a darah. You're only going to hold on to as much as you have in the bank. The time to put into the bank is now, in the next years. And we see that from Yaakov Avinu. He had in the bank, and he held on to it. Tired mitzvah shemati, he didn't move a key uzeh. Think about it, 20 years sitting in Harlem. Can you imagine? 20 years sitting in Harlem, with the lowest of the lowest. Loving the bikish lakar as a kol. He wanted to destroy everything. And 20 years with the lies, and the trickery, and back and forth, and 20 years, not a key uzeh change. Because he was rooted. Because he was matmen atzmei shem ve'ever. We're all now in the base shem ve'ever. We have the opportunity now, and we have a raya for this week's parsha that there are results from it. It doesn't go wasted. Whatever cement you pour now, that's how strong the building is, that's how long it's going to last.